What's up, everybody? Good morning. I felt like I was a little bit late to the stage. Good morning. I'm here now. It's so good to see you. Welcome everybody that's here. I want to welcome all of you that are online. Just want to say a couple of things really quick before we get into our brand new series we're going to call Stand Out. First of all, I just want to say a thank you to everybody. I can just see an increase in effort. More people are wearing masks, and I appreciate that. I recognize that for many of you, it is not necessarily your preference, but I appreciate you just laying down your life for your friends. Jesus said that's the greatest way to show love. For those of you that it is your preference, I just hope that it puts you a little bit more at ease. So hopefully we're making people feel more comfortable. We serve a lot of people. We serve a lot of guests, and we just want to make sure that we are creating all the safety measures we possibly can. So just thank you for being a part of the solution and helping us to serve people well. For those of you that are online, I just want to welcome you in and just thank you for being a part of our church, being connected to us even digitally. Many of you have started some watch parties, so you decided, you know what, I'm going to get in a smaller group, but I still want to have community, still want to be a part of Sunday, and you've started to create watch parties. And so here's what I would like to say. Thank you, first of all, for doing that. We champion that and think it is such a cool idea. I would love for you, if you are willing, to take a picture. What does church for you look like? And then post it on social media and tag us. Like say, hey, this is what my watch party looks like. Hey, this is what church in my pajamas is, you know, whatever it is. Like, I would just love to see it. And so I would just encourage you to do that. Take some photographs of you doing worship, you listening to the message, you praying together, or whatever it is that you're doing, however it is that you're connected to us. I would just love to see what you got going down and who's connected with you, and just love for you to just post it and tag us. That would be phenomenal. So a lot of great things happening here, a lot of good stuff going on around Church on the Rock. If you did not get the email from the church with a little video that I was kind of communicating to the entire church, if you did not receive that, I would encourage you to please go online and fill out our digital connection card. That's going to give you access to like what we are putting out as we continue to make adjustments to serve people well. So if you're like, hey, I didn't know, you know, that we were making any changes. Hey, I didn't know that kids was going to be available only on one service Sunday or whatever it is. Like, if you did, this is the way for you to find that information out. And I would just love to be able to connect with you. We have a lot of ideas, a lot of cool things coming that we believe are going to help us to serve people, like overflow spaces and ways to identify who wants what kind of distance from people and who's, you know, who's not as comfortable and who's more comfortable. Additional service times will be coming, and just know that we are just building team for that. So we want to serve more kids and more services. We have to continue to build our teams for that. We want to produce another service. We have to build more teams for that. And so if you can imagine, some people aren't comfortable coming into the building for church. Well, the same is true for our dream team, and we're trying to be very respectful of where they are and how they feel. And so as much as we can produce and provide, we will do. Does that sound good, everybody? Everybody all right with that? Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. It makes me feel like somebody was listening. I know that that kind of stuff can be mundane and boring, and I know that you kind of heard it in an email. I just want to reinforce to you that we genuinely care about reaching people. It's our mission. It's what we exist for, and so we're just taking every measure that we can to just serve everybody as best we can. So thank you for just being connected, being involved, and then being a part of helping us reach people. It's really, really an honor to do it with you. So listen, today we're going to get into a brand new series that we're calling Stand Out. How many of you guys are ready for something new? Say something to me through your mask. Say, yeah, there you go. That's good. If you're excited and you're online, drop something in the chat. Just put the word Stand Out. Would you do that? Just say Stand Out. I'm excited about this series. I'm going to give you a little bit of the backstory to it, and then we're going to dive right in. But I was just seeking God, what would you have me communicate to our church? And, you know, what does our church need right now in September? We're usually in a totally different flow. We've year after year after year for several years, we've done this series that we've either called Reply All or You Asked For It. And so we would kind of poll you, like, what do you want to hear? And then we would just put together messages about that. And I just didn't feel like that's what God wanted us to do this year. I felt like God was really calling our house into a different direction. And so, be honest with you, by faith, by total faith, I really felt like God was saying, I want you to do a series on personal evangelism. And I just said, yes, okay. I'll do it. By total faith. I had no idea where I was going with this. I just said yes. And then last Sunday, I actually promoted it, still having no idea where I was taking our church. I just felt like that's what God was calling me to do and where God was taking us. And so that's what this entire series, Standout, is going to be about. The series was named by my son. I don't even know if he knows that, but we were praying together during 21 days of prayer, and I was just saying, hey man, how can I pray for you? What's something that I can be praying for you about? And he just simply made this statement, you know, Dad, I want to be a standout. And I was like, love it. So that's what I prayed for Carter about all through 21 days. Every time I would pray for him, I'd pray in line with what he had asked me to pray for. And then when I presented the title concept to the team, I gave them three options, and they unanimously chose standout. So thank you, Carter. He's in the room somewhere. Thank you for name. There he is. Oh, he's back in production. Thank you, sir. Appreciate the title. But this idea of personal evangelism. Now, right away, there's some things I want to say and I want to clarify. This is going to be a series where I'm going to be speaking very, very heavily to Christians. This is going to be really super applicable to you if you follow Christ Jesus. If you do not follow Jesus, you have not made a decision to give your life to Christ, you do not call yourself a Christian, I want to welcome you in anyway. First of all, super thankful that you're a part, that you would take time, that you would listen. I promise you this can still benefit you, so don't get lost. Hang with me. I want to be able to communicate to you as well, but I'm really going to communicate to us as believers and followers of Christ Jesus. What does it look like to have a life of personal evangelism? Something else I want to say right out of the gate is that word itself can be off-putting to some people right away. Because you're like, nah, man, I ain't going to be the person on the corner with the speaker box shouting at the guy, because that's what you've experienced. And I'm not going to be like that dude on TV, you know, and I think all he really wanted was my money, but he was using the Bible to get it. And I'm not going to do it. So it's like, because that's what you've experienced. Or maybe you've been around that person or that preacher or that church culture or whatever it was, where they just told you everything you're doing wrong all the time. Maybe the preacher had like one of those really long fingers, you know what I'm saying? And it just pointed at you. And it was like, you know, the message was just like, turn or burn, get right or get left, you know? And it was like this harsh kind of thing. Maybe that's your experience. And if it is, I'm gonna ask you to just let your guard down and just see if I can present to you a different experience. I wanna talk about this in a whole different way. I would never stand in judgment of other people. Like, I applaud people that are making efforts to advance the gospel and communicate Jesus, but I do think that some ways are less effective than others. Okay. In fact, I think some ways are completely ineffective. I don't think they're working at all. But then I think there are methods that are very effective. They're actually working very, very well. And so that's what I want to talk about. It's going to be a very different flow, this series, than you're used to from me. I'm going to make 4 points over the next 3 weeks. That's it. I am intentionally slowing down. I'm just pulling back. You know what? We're going to walk really, really slow through this concept. My hope is to put the tools way down on a low shelf so everybody can get one. Everybody, let's get a tool that's going to help us serve other people and reach people better. Does that sound fair? So I'm intentionally slowing down the pace. This is not my normal. I just decided, you know what? I don't want to overwhelm you with content. I want to infuse you with confidence. That's what I want to do. And so my hope is that all of us can have a sense of inspiration. You know what? I actually think I can proclaim the gospel of Jesus to the world around me in a way that is not off-putting, in a way that is effective. And so that's what we're going to do through this series. The one thing that I would say that I'm, let's see how to say this. I'll probably get emails for this one. But there's only one thing that I would say I'm glad that COVID has done. One. And I'm just like, it's driving the world crazy, isn't it? Like, it's frustrating and things change all the time and it has all of its disadvantages. There is no doubt. It is terribly impacting people in horrible ways, loss of life, loss of income, struggles in businesses, people feeling very isolated. I mean, the list goes on and on and on about the realities of its negative impact. But there's been one impact that I almost would say has been a good thing, and it's been the impact that COVID has had in one way in the body of Christ. And here's the positive thing that I've seen is it has almost forced us to understand that the church isn't a location. It really has. Like more than ever. I get around other pastors now, and by the way, I spend a lot of time with other pastors. I'm all about the body of Christ. Amen. It's bigger than our church. We just play a part of it. And the one thing that I've noticed that I love and appreciate is that nobody's really talking about, so how many are you running on Sundays? Nobody cares. Because some people can't even open their doors because they meet in a location that's not theirs, they lease it, and they have limitations. Or maybe they've just made the decision, like, well, we're not gathering, we're just doing the online thing only, or whatever the case may be, and it's like the conversation's different. And the one thing that I feel like COVID's done in a good way to the body of Christ is cause us to understand that I don't go to the church, I am the church. And that is a polarizing difference of mentality, that I am the church. And so at Church on the Rock, we say all the time, hey, we exist to reach people, you know, and I'll talk, if you've ever been through All Access, I'll talk about this partnership with people. Like if you're going to call this church your home and you're going to be a part of this family, I want you to join into a partnership with me and help me reach people. And man, if you're not confident enough to like lead them to Jesus at Walmart or in the cul-de-sac or at the country club or on the golf course, invite them to the church. And we're going to do it every single Sunday, and we will. The problem is there ain't a lot of people coming to the church. Like, it's just different now, right? I'm just trying to build a case that it's different now. And so I feel like maybe the method needs to change. And so rather than ask you to give an invitation to come to the church or give an invitation to tune in online or give an invitation to your watch party, I'm saying maybe we have the confidence as followers of Christ to give an invitation to meet Jesus now where you are, right then. And so I want to help you. You guys ready? Yes, ready? All right, let's get started. If you're a note taker, I always have stuff for you to take notes. That's my flow. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible says this, everyone, say the first word with me. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. What a promise. What a promise. And I love that it's inclusive. It doesn't disqualify anybody. The Bible said right there, la-di-da-di, everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. But let's carry on verse 14. But I love the questions. How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? I like these questions. And that's why the scriptures say how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring the good news. Here's what the Bible's saying. Romans is quoting the prophet Isaiah, and it's saying that God loves people that communicate Jesus to other people. It's a beautiful thing in his eyes. It's a beautiful picture to our Heavenly Father. Oh, how beautiful are the feet of those that will carry the gospel, the good news, to the world around them. But I love all the questions that's being asked, like, well, how can they be saved if they don't know who saves them? And how can they know who saves them if someone doesn't tell them? And how can they hear if those people aren't sent? And I just love the questions. Like, we got to be sent. And so I'm hoping in this series that we can infuse ourselves with the confidence to say, I'll do it. Like, here I am, Lord. Send me. And so I'm going to give you the name of my message title. You ready? We're going to talk about it a little bit. The title of the message today is this: I am a disciple. I actually want you to say it with me. I'm doing an audio book right now, which is how I do primary reading. I listen to books, actually. And I'm reading this book right now, and it has me at the end of every single chapter, the author has me repeating a scripture and repeating a prayer. So I'm like declaring it out loud. So I'm just behind the wheel of the Ford F-150 four-wheel drive, man, driving down the road, and I'll just just be praying. You know, I'll just be saying scripture, and he'll have. And I just want to do it. Can we just try? I want you to say it with me. Let's say, I am a disciple. One more time. I am a disciple. Come on, tune in online. You can say it even in your living rooms, even at your homes. I am a disciple. Listen to me, everybody. If you are a Christian, y'all are good. I don't know if y'all could tell it at home, but they said it again. If I am a Christian, that means that I am a disciple. What is a disciple? We're going to define it. It's a follower of Jesus. That's what a disciple is. So if I'm walking in a faith relationship with Jesus, it makes me a disciple, meaning I follow after him. I just want to kind of make a case. I'm going to make one point today, just one. I want you to notice this. The Bible says, this is Jesus. Whoever serves me must what? Follow me, right? And wherever I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. So Jesus is saying, hey, if you're going to walk in this life of faith, if I'm the Lord of your life, if you're doing the Christian thing, you're going to follow me. And what's a disciple? Someone who follows Jesus, right? Again, I'm just trying to get it where everybody can understand. I want to make sure that everybody's very clear that as a Christian, I am a disciple, meaning I'm a follower of Christ Jesus. Look what else he says. Jesus says, come and what? Follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. Now, this could sound odd to some of you, perhaps, because you're like, what does that mean, go fishing for people? Now, everybody that's a fisherman's like, heck yeah, like, I'm in. This sounds a lot of fun. I love fishing. Jesus is actually recruiting two disciples in this context. And so he goes to the shoreline where the boats are and the docks and all those things, and he finds these couple of guys who make their living fishing. So they understand fishing and they get it. Like, we go out in pursuit and we take in a harvest and all this kind of stuff. And then Jesus puts a call on their life to follow him, to be his disciples. Now, these are two of the official 12 that are going to walk with Jesus and become some of the disciples that we read about and that we talk about and that we preach about and all those type things. And so what he says is like, hey, if you follow me, I'm going to teach you to pursue something greater. And so I want to like translate this over to the context with you and me. Here's what Jesus is saying. If you follow me, then it's going to be about people. Okay? And so for those two disciples, it needed to stop being about fish. It needed to be about people. For you and me, maybe it needs to stop being about me and about people. Maybe it needs to stop being about your agenda and about people. Maybe it needs to stop being about what you're trying to achieve in your life and about people. Maybe it needs to stop being about the next promotion or pay raise or child or whatever it is, and it needs to start being about people. Amen. Everybody okay? I feel like it's getting a little heavy. I love you. I'm just trying to help you. And here's my case, all right? The case is this. That if I am a Christian, that means I am a disciple, which means I follow Jesus, which means my responsibility is to be about people. That's my case, scripturally speaking. And so if I'm going to walk with him, then I should communicate about him. I should talk about him. I should promote him. I should share the gospel, which means good news. And can I tell you something? Jesus dying on the cross to pay for your sin, to give you an opportunity to have a personal relationship with God, that is good news. I thought from some Christians, maybe online, you guys said it louder, amen. That's really good news. And so when Jesus is engaging with his disciples, and you all through the Gospels, you can read these stories and Acts and Romans, you can see they reminisce back, and then you see the fruit of what Jesus invested into their lives. And man, he was all about, hey, follow me, show me, or I'm going to show you, I'm going to teach you. And then he would give them authority at points. He would say, hey, all authority from heaven and earth has been given to me, and I'm going to give you the authority to go do the things that I do. I want you to heal the sick and raise the dead. And I mean, he's like empowering these people, like, you do what I do. And Jesus was always about people. He was always about connecting. He was always about exposing hope and life and a future. He was always connecting relationally before he would bring truth. Always. We're going to talk about that next week very specifically, how he would connect relationally first. It was always grace, and then truth always came. The problem with some of our evangelist thinking or experiences that they started with truth. Like, if you don't repent, you're going to hell, you know? And like, the deeper in the South you go, it becomes a couple syllables. You know, it's tail, it's a two-syllable word. Anyway, I have a hilarious story I don't have time to tell you about hail. Maybe one day. In our experience, somebody said, do it. I really would love to. I just don't have time. So I shouldn't have mentioned it, right? Sorry for that. But like, those things may be very, very true. But the thing is that Jesus never went there first. Jesus always made a, like, he made a relational deposit into people. They're like, hey, I'm for you. I actually care about your well-being, what's going on in your life. And then when the truth came, it was palatable. And so how can we become disciples that make the gospel palatable, where people are actually saying, like, hey, I want it? Because Jesus said these words. He said, hey, like, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest that he would send more workers to the fields. Can I just paraphrase that for you? Here's what Jesus was saying. Like, there's not a want for God problem. There's a disciple problem. People are hungry for hope. Can I tell you something? You were designed by God, made by God. I know this is cliche and it might sound corny to some of you, but there is in fact a God-shaped hole inside of every human person. They want to know God, even if they haven't discovered that's what they really want. It's not a problem of people being hungry for truth. It's that people need truth that's palatable. And people need relational bridges built so that they know, like, you actually care for me, not your agenda. Am I making sense? And so with Jesus, this is what he would do. He would show them. He would do things for them. He would be the example. And then he would empower them and say, now go, like, you do it. I'm going to give you the authority to do it. Go. In fact, right before he left the earth, he gave what's known as the Great Commission. We find it in two locations in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are the first four books of the New Testament. One of the examples comes from Mark 16, 14, and 15. Later, he appeared to the 11 who? Disciples. Okay, I'm just pointing that out, right? Followers of Jesus. He appeared to them. And then he told them what? Go. Go into all the world, not the church, but the world. Go into all the world and preach or proclaim. I put that word in parentheses for you on purpose because really it's the same. It's just a declaration. Like, I just want to tell you, like if you ate at a killer restaurant, it was like unbelievable, best steak, oh my, like, blow your mind, change your life thing, you would tell people. You got to go check out this restaurant. It's unbelievable. It's so, so good. Like, melt in your mouth. I don't know what they do, right? You would tell people. So if Jesus tastes so good to you, then he's calling us, like, well, then tell people that I'm good, that I'm compassionate, and I'm great. Like, what's your experience? Again, we're getting there. We're all month long. This is what we're going to talk about. We're going to go really, really slow so that we can really, really get it. So he says, I want you to go into all the world and preach or proclaim the good news to who? La-di-da-di. All right. And then he says, Matthew 28, 18 and 19, Jesus came and told his disciples, nice, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. Followers of Jesus. If you're a follower of Jesus, go create more followers of Jesus. Go create more followers of Jesus. Here's the interesting thing, that these would be the last things Jesus would say to his disciples before he left earth. The last things. I believe that, like, if he's leaving and he's thinking to himself, all right, I'm about to be gone. These are my peeps. What am I going to do to really send them off well? All right, I got to think of the most important thing to say. What does he say? He says, go proclaim. Like, tell people about me. As a Christ follower, go help other people follow Christ. Like, I am a disciple. And he said it to his disciples, that I want you to go and make more of you, make more Christ followers. And so my only point in the whole day today, the only one point, it's so not Pastor Josh-esque, okay? Just one point is this. Listen to me, Church on the Rock. We have to respond to that call. As disciples of Jesus, we have a personal responsibility to respond to the call of being disciple makers. Woo. That comes with some weight, doesn't it? Some of you are completely intimidated because you're like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Josh, that's why I want him to listen to you, because I think you know everything about the Bible. It isn't true, but that might be what you're thinking. But listen, I'm telling you, stay connected with me. Would you, like, stay bought into this series for the course of September? Let me help you, because I'm telling you, I am going to do everything in my power to make this not intimidating for you. That responding to the call of being a disciple and being a disciple maker actually can be so much easier than you think. Rob, will you do me a favor, my brother? Will you put I am a disciple back on my screen? And just, you're the man, and just leave it there. I'm going to finish with a quick story, and then we're going to pray. I've told this story before, so if you've heard it, forgive me. I know that I repeat myself often, but we also have a lot of new people joining the church, and so just bear with me, if you would, please. Years ago, when I first became the pastor of Church on the Rock, it was such an honor for me. I mean, it still is, honestly. I think I got more energy and passion for it than I've ever had in my life, but it was just new. And it felt so amazing, and I just wanted to follow God. And I was at a point in my life where I was like, God, I'll do anything. I don't care what you say. I'm your guy. You just say go, and I'm leaving. Like, I'll trust you, abandon all. I'm in. And this is what he said. He called me to this role. And so, this has the chance to disappoint some people, but I'm just being myself, okay? And so I remember when I first became pastor, and, like, I had the title. Like, people called me pastor. It was just new and different, you know? I don't know how to explain it. It was just new. And I could feel the weight. I could feel the weight of that. Like, yee, whoo. And so I remember when I would be out, like, in just whatever, just places. I might be out in, you know, I might be at Advanced Auto Parts, you know, buying oil to change the oil in the car. Or I might be hanging out with some friends of mine, or at a barbecue, or whatever. I don't know, just wherever and whatever. And I would be out. I was away from the context of, like, the church building and the church atmosphere and church people. I wasn't in a life group. You know, I was, like, just in, like, is it making sense? And so, like, those kind of atmospheres. And I remember over and over and over inside my mind, I would say to myself all the time, over and over and over, I would just say to myself, you're a pastor. You're a pastor. Don't forget, you are a pastor. And I recognize that that's probably, like, super disappointing, because we were like, what were you struggling with? Now, listen, like, it wasn't because I was afraid I was going to, like, cannonball off into some sin. It was because I wanted to remind myself how to conduct myself. So, like, I can't just be pastor at church. I have to conduct myself like a leader and like a pastor everywhere, meaning there are certain things that I'm going to have to, like, change about myself or grow, whatever it is, because I, like, if they're going to call me pastor, I would like to live up to that. Does that make sense? And so internally, there was this inner voice that would always say, hey, you're a pastor. You're a pastor. Now, I've been at this role for several years now, and I still have an inner voice that sometimes reminds me, hey, you're a pastor. Come on, right? Because I'm human. Just letting you know. But here's my encouragement. This is why I asked Rob to just put this on the screen and leave it there for me, because maybe for a period of time, this just needs to be your inner voice. Maybe you just need to begin to tell yourself, I am a disciple. I am a disciple. I'm a disciple. And it might just be like an inner mantra that helps you to remember who you are when you're not here, when you're not in life group, when you're not in the context that feels holy and churchy and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like when you're out there in the world that Jesus sent us to. And so this week, this is the one tool that I want to offer the whole church, is that we just create an inner voice, a mantra that says, I am a disciple. I have a responsibility to communicate the hope that I have found. Listen, if God's been good to you, you have something good to say. And you have something good to live. And so the only tool that I want to hit, now I'm going to give you a tool. You have to determine how to use the tool. Okay, the application for you is going to be different than the next person and the next person. But very simply put, this is the week that I would love some of you. It's going to change you. It's going to change you. Because now I don't have to think that like I'm a pastor. I don't have to think that like back then I was trying to rewire. You know, like Romans 12:1 says, renew your mind, right? And I was trying to just rewire my thinking that like, hey, not, you know, not just anything goes. And does that make sense? And so this week, I'm inviting us, like, let's just rewire our thinking. Let's create an inner voice and a mantra and remind ourselves as often as you need to. Put it as a reminder on your phone where it just buzzes and you pull it out and you're like, I am a disciple. I am a disciple. Some of you need it just so that you can believe that about yourself. Some of you are like, oh, man, I'm barely Christian, buddy. Oh, but you're a disciple. There's not such a thing, by the way. Anyway, if you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, you're a disciple. So this week, we have an inner voice, a mantra that we're going to say. It's going to help our personal evangelism. I pray that 1 month from now, 4 Sundays from this Sunday, that you feel like you've got tools to say, okay, I can take these tools and I can be a witness for Jesus. I can proclaim the gospel. I can communicate it in a way that's relational and truthful, a way that's palatable and receptive to the world around me. 1 week, one tool. I am a disciple. Would you say it with me as we close? I am a disciple. I am a disciple. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around, even at home or wherever you're watching from, if you would just respectfully just bow your heads, I would appreciate that. I want to enter us into a moment of prayer. We read earlier that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, everyone. And if you remember at the very start of the message, I said, hey, if you're not a Christ follower and you're listening, would you stay connected? I have something for you too. And here's the very simple reason that I would say that is because I want to give you the opportunity to be a Christ follower. I think that you actually recognize today, yes, there is a God-shaped hole inside of me, and I've been searching. I didn't realize that's what it was. I just want to give you the opportunity to fill the void that is in your life. Maybe today was the first time that you've ever heard about God being good, or that he's relational first, always. I just would love to tell you the truth, and that is that he loves you more than you could ever imagine. And he wants to know you personally. That's why Jesus came for you. And so what I like to do is I always like to invite people to say a prayer with me. If you're at the decision-making place in your life right now, then I want to encourage you to just do that. One thing I'm going to ask you to do today, one, and that is to choose Jesus. So inside, you're going to say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to give you my life. And then I want to help you with a prayer, just a very simple prayer that I want to guide you through. And I want you to repeat after me, just like I've been doing this repeated thing in the book I'm listening to currently. I want to ask you to just repeat after me. And so church family, those of you that are in the building and those of you that are in watch parties or in your living rooms or wherever you are, I would encourage you, would you please say it out loud with me too? I like to ask this because for the people saying it for the first time ever, I just want them to be confident. I want them to really be able to declare who they are in Christ today. And so we're going to say our prayer. Here we go. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me and cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am, it is yours. You are Lord. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen." Come on, can we give praise to God for those that made that decision this morning? Amen. Amen. It's awesome.